Well, I'm delighted to welcome to the studio Sabine Granger, who's here to talk about what her other half is doing. Sabine, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you here. Tell me, Daryl, what's he doing?
He's in the Atlantic at the moment, about almost 500 nautical miles out from the Canary Islands, rowing across to Antigua.
That's just an amazing feat. So, okay, why is he doing it?
He's doing it for two charities, basically, the East Sussex Wildlife Rescue Ambulance Service and the Peter Andre Fund, two charities close to his heart.
Okay, and if people would like to sponsor him and that, let's get the website addresses out now, and we'll do it again at the end, but okay. what are the site addresses?
Well, the first one you can go to is rowers-arc.com, and then also the GoFundMe page, which is www.gofundme.com/rowers-arc.
I guess you've been saying that quite a lot recently, because
yes.
You did that without any script in front of you. When did he start all this?
Well, the planning started about 2 years ago.
Okay.
So it's been a long time coming, and it's been a mammoth task. And we've always said it seems the hardest part is actually getting to the start.
Yeah.
But now he's actually there, you know, 14th of December is when he started rowing, and he's out there until the end.
Okay. I said to you off air, I said, well, obviously, he obviously chose this because he's a rower. And you said?
No, he's not. He's a runner.
Why go for the rowing if he's a runner? Is it just a challenge? Or?
It's a challenge. It was something, because he's always been into endurance running.
Yeah.
It was a challenge. It was something different. He saw Ben Fogle and Cracknell do it when they did it. I can't remember how long ago now. I think it was probably about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was just something that fascinated him. And he loves the ocean and the wildlife in the ocean. And a lot of his running was for ocean conservation. So the thought of being out there and doing a challenge like that was just amazing.
So what are the training then? Because obviously being a runner, he's obviously training in endurance and lots of leg muscles and that, but this sort of thing is completely different muscles. So what training did he do?
It's strength training. Total strength training, core strength, because obviously you're constantly on the move, so your body's getting thrown all over the place, so you have to have that core strength and ability to hold that, but also the power of rowing, you know, pulling a ton boat, basically, because it may be lightweight to a certain extent, but by the time you've got all supplies on it, it's a heavy boat to pull.
And put this in context, how many hours a day is he rowing?
He's approximately trying to do 16 hours a day.
16 hours a day rowing.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that just takes some thinking about it, doesn't it?
Yeah,
eh?
It does, yeah.
I mean, I've done just sort of 2.5 hours in here, and I'm feeling tired out already.
I know. It's hard work just thinking about it, definitely.
And he's had a pretty tough time out there, hasn't he?
He has. It's not been favourable, the weather. It's been kind of thrown straight into it. So he's had a lot of bad conditions. Confused seas is a term that I've learned. So when you've got wind coming from one direction and waves going another and currents and all sorts, you get waves coming from all directions rather than going together, which is what he's aiming for, is the trade winds, where wind and waves go in the same direction. So he's been battered, literally. He's had bolts gouge his head. He's nearly been washed over,
because he's been injured, hasn't he, as well on there?
Yeah, he got washed off his deck, but they all wear a lifeline, so thankfully that all fell into place and worked, and the guidelines that he has either side of the boat stopped him from going totally overboard. And then in his cabin, because he's had to kind of sit tight for a few days in his cabin because of the weather, he got bashed against a bolt that's on the hatch and scraped his scalp open. So, and everyone knows how much a scalp bleeds. So, yeah, you're dealing with situations like that for him on his own. And then recently, I think it was just before Christmas, I think maybe even Christmas Eve, I've lost track now, he capsized.
Boat completely over?
Boat completely over. So he was the first of the fleet to experience that. So that wasn't a nice experience.
And does he have to turn it back by himself?
It's self-righting. They're all built. All ocean rowing boats are built self-righting. So after a few seconds, it will come back up again. But, I mean, it makes me hold my breath just thinking about it.
So did he stay on while it happened, or did he?
He was in his cabin at the time.
Oh, crikey. Oh, great.
He was in his 6-foot by 4-foot little space, and his world got turned upside down, and he was underwater until it self-righted again.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow. Okay. We were also talking about, I mean, obviously, there's the whole physical challenge of doing it, but the biggest challenge here is mentally challenged, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is. And I think that's what we've kind of really seen highlighted in the last 10 days, 14 days, is how it really is an emotional, mental, soul-searching, yeah, endurance challenge, because you are fighting with fear, you're fighting with the prospect of your own mortality. There's not many of us that face that on a daily basis.
Or choose to.
And it just really puts things in perspective, and you're fighting every day, basically. It is a survival challenge.
So what does he do for sort of relaxation? Because you've got to have some sort of little bit of a break in the day.
Yeah.
What does he do for that?
Relaxation is minimal. It's probably lying down in his cabin. He has got the luxury of music. Even though he's having power issues, he's got an iPod that I put on there and charged before he left.
Excellent.
So, yeah, he's got through some of the dark times with music, so it's, yeah, that's probably the relaxation is.
And how are you keeping in touch with him?
By satellite phone, thankfully.
Wow. Yes. And you're a big fan of sat phones now, I believe you say?
Oh, yes, I love Iridium. Because he sounds like he's down the road, but he isn't. Even though it cuts off suddenly at frustrating points, he is contactable, and it's down to him to ring me, because obviously if I ring and he can't answer, I'll panic. But he's probably just rowing.
Rough time of days, you have a conversation, or can it just be any time?
It tends to be first thing in the morning,
yeah.
Because he says it's horrible waking up and realising he's still on his boat. So at the moment, he finds it quite therapeutic to ring and speak to me. And,
okay.
Yeah.
And that's straight to your mobile, I guess, is it?
In mobile, yeah, landline. It's, yeah.
So what's he doing for food?
Food, well, he's got a lot of calories on board, 450,000 to be precise.
Right.
So he's got 90 days worth of food. As a soloist, they have to, race regulations have 90 days worth. And it's dehydrated food.
Oh, yummy.
Yeah, so just add water, hot or cold, as you please. Yeah. And yeah.
And how's he managing the food? Is he, because he, presumably he's got to get thousands and thousands of calories down him each day. Is it about 6,000 calories
he needs? It's meant to be 5,000 calories a day.
Yep.
But at the moment, he's probably not even had 1,000 calories a day, because it's just been quite a roller coaster ride, and your stomach just turns off. Your adrenals are going 100 miles an hour. So food is not a priority at that point in time. But he's starting to eat. He's had his first few dehydrated meals, so he's getting there. He's getting there. And he's had snack packs. We put together snack packs for him. They have approximately 3,000 calories is snack packs. So he's had all sorts of things, from mini cheddars to Haribo to, you know.
Okay. And he's in a team doing, isn't he? There's a team of boats doing this at the
moment. There's 12 in the fleet. Yep. He's one of four solos. Mm-hmm. There's trios, pairs, and fours. So he's not on his own as such, but they're nowhere near each other in that respect.
No, absolutely. In fact, you can track them on the website. I'm actually looking online right now.
It's really cool and addictive.
I can actually see him actually sort of tracking on there.
Yeah.
I'm looking on the website right now, and he's just he's west of Senegal, basically.
sort of, something like that. Cape Verde Islands, I think it is.
Yep. So it's fabulous, actually. It's a great website. It's www.TaliskerWhiskeyAtlanticChallenge.com is the website, and you can actually see all the boats actually challenging on there. And you say he's one of the four soloists. On the website, it looks, you can see the boats there, but I guess when they're out there, they actually can't even see each other.
They can't see each other. No, so the only way they could communicate is via satellite phone.
Right.
So, no, they're not in visual or... Okay. They can't get...
Let's give an idea of timetable here. So when did he leave?
He left on the 14th of December.
Okay. Just in time for Christmas?
Yes. One way of getting out of buying presents.
Well, I suppose so. And obviously it depends upon the weather, but roughly speaking, so where and when does he arrive at the other side?
Well, at the moment, it's possibly sort of towards the end of March. It will hopefully be sooner once he picks up the trade winds, but it'll be March time.
And he lands somewhere nice, doesn't he?
Yeah, Antigua.
Would you be going out to meet him by any chance?
Yes. Absolutely. It's what it's all about, is getting to Antigua.
A couple of weeks out there, probably well deserved.
Yeah, definitely.
And then I guess you come with him and row the boat back?
Yeah, something like that. No, it's going in a container and getting shipped back.
How's the sponsorship going?
It's awesome. We're getting so much support, but we need so much more. So it would be lovely to get more and more donations. There would be nothing better than to tell him he's raised thousands of pounds for doing this.
Any idea what you're at the moment? Any idea where it's at?
I think in total, because we've got sort of three sites where you can donate. We've got the GoFundMe, which is the central pot. We've got the Just Giving for RAS and Just Giving for the Peter Andre Fund. And I think in total, we're around about 5,000, if not a bit more.
Fantastic. Yeah. So we really do want to draw up the support for him.
Yeah, definitely.
I think you're going to keep in touch with us and come back again,
absolutely,
aren't you?
Absolutely. And that,
so
yes,
we really do want to draw up the support, because there's some really, really worthwhile causes out there.
Yeah, definitely.
So when you talk to him again, do send him our best regards.
I will do.
He's done a fantastic feat there.
Amazing.
Has he taken Tom off from work?
He runs his own business, so okay, he's got that all under control. It's ticking over whilst he's away.
Doesn't sell rowing boats, does he?
No. No, not quite.
Okay, Sabine, it's been fantastic to talk to you. Thank you for coming in today.
Pleasure. Let's
run those websites again if people want to sponsor him.
Okay.
And that. So run through them one at a time.
So our website for the row is www.rowers-arc.com. And then we've got the GoFundMe page, which is www.gofundme.com/rowers-arc. And then you can search for the Just Giving pages off of our website.
Okay. But I might sort of ask finally, how are you coping?
Yeah, I'm all right. Yeah. I think I need to drink lots of Baileys or something. It's fine.
Okay. Sabine, thank you ever so much for coming in today. Do come back and see us again.
I will
And send our best regards to Daryl,
yep,
rowing across the Atlantic.